Hello and welcome to another episode of African Catholic Voices, a podcast project of the Pan-African Catholic Theology and Pastoral Network. My name is Mombi Kegodar, the organizing secretary for the network and your host for today. African Catholic Voices podcast provides a platform for conversations amongst African Catholics and allies on matters of faith and society. Today, I'm delighted to welcome Sister Jane Wakahio as our guest. Sister Jane Wakahio is a member of the Institute of the Little Sisters of St. Francis in Kenya and is the Associate Vice President of Program Operations and Head of the Catholic Sisters Initiative for the Conrad N. Hilton Foundation. Prior to joining the foundation, she was the Executive Director of the African Catholic Sisters Education Collaborative, which conducts educational activities in 10 African countries, including Nigeria and South Sudan, where the ravages of war and other human tragedies continue to significantly affect millions of people. Sister Wakahio also has taught at the undergraduate and graduate level and also administered at a girls' high school. She has facilitated leadership workshops for teachers and Catholic sisters. Sister Jane is an author of several books and articles on Catholic sisters, education, and leadership. Thank you for making time to be with us today, and welcome, Sister Jane.
Thank you, Sister Mombi. I am delighted to speak with you today.
You have had a very interesting life path. Could you share with us a little about your earlier years and what eventually led you to becoming a religious sister and making the choice to be a little sister of St. Francis?
Thank you, Mombi. I was born and raised in Nakuru, Kenya. My parents, David and Teresia, married young because both had lost their parents at a tender age due to illness and struggle for independence. They prayed and worked hard, saved every coin, and bought a farm in Nakuru, Kenya, so they could raise their children in a family setting that was more stable than their own. So I was raised in a rural farming community. My parents were solid Catholics. Daily prayers and volunteering to serve people living in disadvantaged situations were the norm. Each weekend, my parents encouraged us to volunteer at a home for children with disabilities or help bring food, water, or firewood to the elderly in our neighborhood. Although we lived modestly, these experiences transformed me. They helped me to understand how fortunate we were. At a very early age, I felt the desire to give my life to something bigger than myself, to serve those in less fortunate situations. These experiences nurtured and prayed along in my decision to enter religious life after my high school education. So I joined the Little Sisters of St. Francis in 1991.
Thank you for sharing that. And just to mention that we have a few things in common, that I also grew up in Nakuru, and I'm very proud to have been educated by the Little Sisters of St. Francis in high school. After formation, you went on to the Catholic University of Eastern Africa, also my alma mater, and got a bachelor's degree in education. What inspired this choice of career and ministry?
Thank you, Mombi. I think we have a lot in common. And as you know, in religious life, you decide in consultation with the congregation leadership team. Also, each congregation provides sisters with the training opportunities aligned with that congregation's charism and mission. Before joining religious life, my father wanted me first to acquire a university degree. I recall pleading with my father to support my decision to enter religious life, which he did. Now, towards the end of my initial formation, novices are provided an opportunity to select three or four areas where they feel called to develop their talent in service of integral human development. Based on our congregation's charism and mission, I presented four areas of study: medicine, health sciences, education, and social sciences, as this was the practice. On taking my vows, the congregational leader asked me to go to university to study education. We had quite a few sisters who were upgrading at the Catholic University of Eastern Africa, so there was not much dialogue of my first or second choice. After all, I had joined the Little Sisters of St. Francis because I was inspired and desired to serve God in His people wherever I was called to be. And here I was answering a call of love and service in the education sector where I also served as a teacher on completion of my degree.
It's interesting that we actually have a lot in common, because my first choice was medicine, followed by social sciences. Well, I ended up studying business, and then after that, theology. So this is part of the abandonment to God's will, I guess, that we profess when we choose to follow this life. But talking about education, your educational ministry took a slightly different twist when you became the executive director of the African Sisters Education Collaborative. Could you tell us a bit more about ASEC and its continued vision and what you were able to achieve during your tenure there?
Thank you, Mumbi. Working at ASEC, I don't think it deviated so much from my career in education. But when I think of my life and the work I do, a verse from the book of Proverbs 19:21 speaks to me. Many are the plans in the mind of man or the person, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. God has a plan and destiny for each person. God prepares us for the mission in a way we may not understand. Before starting my work as executive director of the African Sisters Education Collaborative, I taught at Marywood University's Education Department and also served as an evaluator for the African Sisters Education Collaborative Sisters Leadership Development Initiative. Coincidentally, I had defended my dissertation when a friend called to let me know there was a position open for the executive director of ASEC and that it was an international search. As is the norm, I discussed with my congregational leader if I could apply for the position, to which he responded in the affirmative. Honestly, I was making fun of myself because I didn't think as a new graduate I would be considered for the position. But God had a different plan for me, as in Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. It seems I was in the right place at the right time. It was a very competitive process. I ended up being as a finalist and selected by the ASEC board and mandated that I develop an online program for Catholic sisters to acquire higher education credentials. I knew the needs of the sisters in Africa and was able to navigate the ecosystem easily. Immediately, I embarked on the work, and I must say, I had a very supportive board. I expanded the Sisters Leadership Initiative to additional 5 countries, Cameroon, South Sudan, Malawi, Lesotho, and Tanzania, in addition to the 5 initial countries. I created the Higher Education for Sisters in Africa and partnered with 24 colleges and universities in 10 countries in Africa, developed a 2-year college program for sisters in Zambia, Tanzania, and Malawi, a visiting scholars program for sisters to study and practice applied research in a postgraduate, and a research program to help build the field and share best practices. From 2 staff members to over 30 staff members across the 10 countries, it is amazing to see how the current ASEC leadership continues the incredible work of capacity building of sisters in Africa.
Wow, that's amazing. And even though I've not been a beneficiary of ASEC, I know many sisters who are my friends who have benefited from the program. It's been amazing to see sisters who, for different reasons, might not have been able to achieve their education in that time frame. Their easier accessibility to study in one's own country has opened the doors for so many sisters to pursue higher education. What would you say about this collaboration between American, US sisters and African sisters through ASEC and the unexpected fruits born out of this relationship?
Absolutely, Mumbi. I am amazed by Catholic sisters' genius, profound courage, intuition, and ability to take risks, to go to uncharted territories, to provide services to the underserved. I can only describe Catholic sisters as visionaries focused on making a difference in the lives of others through spiritual accompaniment and committed to solving societal challenges in meaningful ways. All the 8 founding members of ASEC have operated colleges and universities since 1900. The Sisters of St. Joseph of Philadelphia with Chestnut Hill College, the Sisters Servants of the Immaculate Heart of Mary of Scranton with Marywood University, the Sisters of St. Francis of Philadelphia with Newman University, and the Society of the Holy Child Jesus with Rosemont College. They had always supported sisters from Africa to come to the US for studies. The universities provided scholarship and congregations provided room and board. However, they could only support a few sisters at a time. These visionary women religious imagined how they could support more sisters in Africa. There was a market, the need for education was great, and it would be cost effective. As a result, they founded ASIC. Through a grant from the Hilton Foundation, ASIC started delivering financial management training through the Sisters Leadership Development Initiative. The SLDI program was successful in Nigeria, Ghana, Kenya, and Uganda. As I mentioned earlier, when I joined ASIC in 2011, although the SLDI program was a success, the board was still focused on their initial vision around college credentials. My work was to make this vision a reality. Graduates of SLDI as well, they needed higher education credentials. It was this in mind that I designed higher education for sisters in Africa, through which I developed the partnership with 24 colleges and universities in 10 countries in Africa. The program operated in two models, one in which sisters could take online classes and complete their degrees at a partner university in Africa, and one, sisters could attend on-site classes for those countries in which an internet network was weak. I must say, Mombi, congregational leaders and conferences of major superiors were excellent partners, as this was a great opportunity for them and their sisters in Africa. We started as a vision by four colleges, congregations became a reality. To date, over 5,000 Catholic sisters across Africa have graduated with either undergraduate or master's degree or post-secondary credentials. These sisters are providing healthcare, education, social services, spiritual formation, and accompaniment to thousands of people across Africa, creating ripple effects. Through the Hilton Foundation investment, ASIC has transformed and continues to transform the life and work of sisters in Africa through education.
That is amazing. I mean, I'm just thinking of how much work you are able to do, but also that gift and power of collaboration, but also the hunger for people really to get education, but now to make it accessible. And now I'm thinking in this post-pandemic or pandemic world we are living in, it answered so many prayers that sisters were able to continue accessing education despite not being able to travel. And ASIC and HESA has contributed a lot to that. Dear friends, you're listening to African Catholic Voices podcast. With us is Sister Jane Wakahio, a Franciscan Kenyan sister based in the US. We are talking about her varied ministerial experiences and the unique perspective they have afforded her into the reality of a multitude of African Catholic sisters. Sister Jane, you're currently an associate vice president at the Conrad Hilton Foundation and the head of the Catholic Sisters Program. Why this program and what does it offer and hope to provide for Catholic sisters?
Mombi, I will first begin by sharing about the Hilton Foundation. The Hilton Foundation's Catholic Sisters Initiative is the largest of the seven initiatives here. We are a family foundation established in 1944 by Conrad N. Hilton, the man who started Hilton Hotels. The foundation's mission is guided by the intent of Conrad and his son, Baron Hilton, who gave virtually all of their personal wealth to the foundation to alleviate human suffering by applying their values of integrity, thinking big, humility, stewardship, and compassion globally. The foundation foresees a world in which improving the human condition is a shared and sustainable goal. Conrad N. Hilton was educated by Catholic sisters and had a great deal of respect for them. In his will, he expressly stated, "Give aid to Catholic sisters who devote their love and life's work for the good of mankind, for they appeal especially to me as deserving help from the foundation." Our Catholic Sisters Initiative implements a four-pronged strategy with an overarching vision to strengthen the global Catholic sisterhood, a network of local, national, and global leaders and congregations who offer prophetic witness and restore human dignity through advocacy and action on behalf of integral human development. And through sisters' ministries and partnership, sisters transform the lives of children, youth, and families living in conditions of disadvantage so that they are self-sufficient and independent, contributing to the vibrancy of their communities. Here at the Foundation, we focus on supporting and increasing the vitality of Catholic sisters through providing education, leadership development, ongoing formation, strengthening sisters' congregations, conferences, and ministries, and developing solutions to improve the care of elderly sisters after a lifetime of service. We also support sisters' ministries that improve livelihood and career pathways for children, youth, and families, and that provide equality education, healthcare access, and anti-human trafficking programs and services. We seek to elevate sisters' voices, support church partnerships, and utilize research and data to help inform decision making and build the field. In the spirit of fraternal relationship, we partner with the International Union of Superior Generals to build the capacity of sisters' theological and spiritual formation. We also partner with Teresa Cum, the global network of Catholic sisters working with victims and survivors of trafficking to restore the dignity of the oppressed and exploited, accompanying survivors through a ministry of presence by focusing on caring for victims of trafficking and exploitation and people at risk, healing physical, social, and spiritual wounds, empowering victims and survivors as well as individuals at risk, by amplifying their voices and restoring human dignity by promoting access to justice. We also partner with the church locally and globally and fund variety organizations around the world working with Catholic sisters in their spaces.
Amazing, what a legacy. And really, when you think of the Hilton family and what they have been able to achieve by this generous gift that has grown over time, it humbles one to wonder, what legacies are we all working to leave behind in this world with the gifts and talents that we have been blessed with? Sister Jane, you have encountered more African sisters from different congregations than perhaps most of us. What are the unique gifts and attributes that they bring to the continent and to the world, especially as we look at the demographics, which says that African Catholics are going to be the largest demographic in the church in the very near future?
Yes, Mombi, indeed, I have encountered many sisters in Africa working with inner city communities and in rural areas where government services are sometimes non-existent. In their spaces, sisters work to educate children, provide care to those in need, promote peace, and advocate for justice while standing alongside individuals experiencing oppression. I recognize with gratitude that sisters bring unique gifts in their spaces. They are one with the people working alongside them. Sisters' profound resilience, compassion, commitment, optimism, humility, and hard work, be it in war-torn regions such as South Sudan or Nigeria or Congo, sisters remain there, present with the people and accompany these communities as they recover from displacement and long-term trauma caused by war, conflict, and injustices. Sisters give compassionate love and hope to these communities. Other than other physical needs like food and water, which are really essential, but love and hope are also important. They bring healing to the whole person. They really express fraternal relationship, living in solidarity with these communities. I think sisters bring many more gifts. Being present with the people in these marginal areas, local regions, it's really incredible. I appreciate the work they are doing.
I would also add that sisters tend to bring a sense of humor. There is no place I've gathered with sisters, even ones that I've just met, that we have not been able to laugh about something or the other. Sister Jane, what are the biggest challenges and opportunities for African Catholic sisters in the coming years? We are just coming out of a pandemic. And I would actually say coming out of a pandemic is something we can talk about since we are here where there's access to vaccines. But for many of these African Catholic sisters, they are right in the midst of the pandemic. What are the biggest challenges and opportunities facing them?
I agree, there are many challenges and there are also opportunities if we take them positively. We are living in changing times. The impact of COVID-19 pandemic has had far-reaching effects on sisters and the communities they serve. Many have been unable to provide certain services due to lockdowns and other restrictions. There are many opportunities and equally challenges. I will focus on a few. Catholic sisters in Africa still lack access to advanced training and degrees in critical skills, such as human resource management, organizational leadership, and financial planning. We are committed to increasing training and education for sisters so they may continue delivering effective services. This includes developing digital learning programs that allow sisters around the world to access continuing education in theological, spiritual formation, and other sciences that could support their integral human development work. Like any other small businesses that the pandemic has impacted, ministries run by the sisters have been closed, impacting the communities that receive services from the sisters. With respect to emerging online teaching, telemedicine, and other virtual service delivery methods, sisters were not prepared or equipped to provide such services. So we need to explore alternative methods to serve and be present to the people so that we can effectively deliver services in those virtual spaces. We continue to support digital platforms and direct support to Lignite Sisters Ministries so they can remain present to the people they so willingly serve. There is also need for a continuing formation that extends across all congregation, ages, and types of ministries. This is key to being attentive to the needs of the time and also providing self-care for sisters. We must strengthen existing networks and create new ones to improve formation approaches and increase congregation access to formation programs in order to meet the evolving needs of sisters within a variety of socio-cultural contexts. We've supported, for example, online theological training offered to the sisters in Africa in one of the theological college institutes in Africa. Due to COVID-19, poverty is increasing at really an exponential rate, and unemployment in Africa is growing. Pope Francis, in his message for World Day of Migrants and Refugees in August 2013, said, "We cannot remain silent about the scandal of poverty in its various forms. Violence, exploitation, discrimination, marginalization, restrictive approaches to fundamental freedoms." And on December 2, 2015, during his general audience, Pope Francis said, "The coexistence of wealth and poverty is a scandal. It is a disgrace for humanity. The pandemic has created untold poverty, and sisters have the challenge to develop networks to advocate on these issues and collaborate to develop programs that help to break poverty barriers, such as agribusiness, education, access to healthcare, and employment, enhancing participatory and mutual supportive work that enhances the dignity of all people. We are supporting sisters to improve lives for children, youth, and families, to improve livelihoods and career pathways and quality education. We have also created, for example, a network that is responding to the question of the vaccine, equitable vaccine access in Africa. We have the Sisters Ambassadors Program that is working in several countries, sisters advocating and helping people to understand the vaccine and also reaching out to those rural areas, supporting inoculating the people. We've seen sisters stepping up in this leadership, not only to provide food, water, and other needs, but also to encourage people to get vaccinated and themselves being the leaders of the vaccination plans.
I like this because we are learning even here that one thing is vaccine access. The next thing is acceptance of the vaccine, which is another challenge. And I have to say, as somebody who's on several of these WhatsApp groups, there's so much misinformation being spread about the vaccine, especially amongst our people. But sisters do have a trusted voice in many African settings. So I'm excited. I'm excited about this program. If I could grant you one wish for African Catholic women, what would you desire for them all?
Thank you, Mumbi. I would reflect on St. Paul's letter to Ephesians. Make every effort to preserve the unity the Spirit has already created. with peace binding you together. I desire to see more sisters gain opportunities to develop their talents and bring those talents to the service of God and humanity. I desire to see more and more intercongregation and collaboration to address formation and integral human development needs for children, youth and families, and for people on the move, migrants and refugees across the world. I desire to see more sister theologians and researchers providing reflective analysis and solutions to societal challenges. I desire to see more sisters involved in advocacy work, helping to elevate the voices of those in the margins. Sisters helped create education and healthcare system in this country. There is more need in the Lord's vineyard, and together we can do it. So I wish I could provide more sisters education, and sisters can step forward to support each other as networks to make a difference in the communities they work, not only partnering as sisters, but also partnering with others who are offering similar services so that they can see and understand those ecosystems. Who are those they are not reaching out to, and how can they be able to work to reach out to them in compassionate love?
I like that. I like that aspect of collaboration. And really, when we think about it, whether consciously or unconsciously, we live in an ecosystem where we are codependent on one another. And I stand here myself, I sit here today, a recipient and a beneficiary of many collaborations throughout my lifetime. And I wouldn't be able even to do this work I do today without that collaboration. I mean, me meeting you, Sister Jane, was because of a collaboration that you had with people in my life who then introduced us to one another. Any last words you'd like to share with us?
Thank you, Mombi. This has been incredible. Thank you for the opportunity to share and discuss the work of Catholic Sisters. The Pan-African Ministry of Developing this podcast is an educational tool and a platform to elevate the voices of sisters, women, men, young and old, to discuss important societal issues or theological issues. Thank you for this wonderful ministry. You are doing great work, and we need to be networked in order to share the experiences of many sisters working in different ecosystems, the challenges they face, the opportunities they have, and how they are making a difference in those spaces. Great job.
Thank you. And actually, yes, you have alluded to something that we wanted to do with this podcast and with this network, is really to build these networks. There are people doing wonderful work all over the continent, but certainly our systems of communicating and connecting are lacking in many ways. And so hopefully through this platform, we shall learn from one another and make connections that can help us build our church and society in Africa. Sister Jane, if you don't mind, I'd like to invite you to say a prayer for us as we conclude, remembering that our continent continues to struggle even as we continue to celebrate different achievements that are happening. There are also lots of problems that continue to emerge or to continue. So please pray for us.
Thank you, Mumbi. St. Paul's letter to Ephesians invites us, make every effort to preserve the unity the Spirit has already created, with peace binding you together. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. Gracious God, thank you for the time we have shared. Bless and sustain your church and all consecrated persons who have dedicated their lives to you and service to humanity. Bless the work of our hands, that we live in solidarity with each other and all you have created. May your wisdom and grace deepen in us your compassion to live in fraternal love with each other, serve as a catalyst to advance the common good for all. Grow in us your wisdom and teach us to adopt your perspective. May your will reign paramount in our plans today and always. May the things you have revealed and our shared thoughts dwell in our hearts and stir us to action. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Jane. Thank you for giving us this time and for sharing your wisdom and your experience and your vast knowledge. And thank you, our dear listeners, for joining us for another episode of African Catholic Voices. I wish you blessings in all of your endeavors. Please subscribe to us and share our podcast with your networks. We shall be back with a new episode with another exciting guest next week.